is Guns Over Texas. Jeff Sanford and Gary Montgomery are the gun nuts. They believe in America. They fight for your Second Amendment rights. They teach safety, advanced shooting skills, and responsible gun ownership. They just love guns. Guns Over starts now.
Hello, Houston, and welcome back to your two-hour gun show of the airwaves, Guns Over Texas, brought to you by the Voice of Texas, AM 700 KSEV Radio, and Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range, Houston's 2012 Concealed Handgun License Headquarters. Jeff, Gary, and Jason in studio today, so holster your guns and pick up your phones. Call in now if you got something you want to talk about. Give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Let's talk guns and let's talk all things that go bang. As usual, Gary will be monitoring Guns Over Texas Radio on Facebook as well. Gentlemen, welcome back to Guns Over Texas. Anything new in your gun world this week, Gary?
You know, I guess the only new thing is the fight that Jason and I have been in for the last week.
Not even a disagreement.
I want to call it a discussion, but we took quite a bit of a shellacking, as you
will. We took a little verbal beating there.
To set it up for everybody, the open carry debate has been raging at a forum, a web forum.
Well, it's been raging across Texas for years now.
Yeah, but especially on a web forum that invited Guns Over Texas to have our own column. Now, our conversation 2 weeks ago with John Farnham, in which all four of us agreed on our belief that concealed carry, it should be the preferred method for carry, sparked outrage amongst the online keyboard junkies.
To be fair, we're not holding this against Texas Gun Talk in general. This is very specific.
Two or three folks. Yes. Yeah. We got a few supporters on there agreeing.
I wasn't even going to mention the site, but yeah, there are a few of them that were... Now, we've been called names like leftist liberals, associated with groups like the Brady Campaign, and roundly criticized for not being available to the forum 24 hours a day. Jobs and families be damned. Never mind that Jason and Gary very eloquently and classily stated their opinions and gave factual information, affirming their support for those who wish to open carry. Never mind the fact that anyone who has ever heard just one Guns Over Texas broadcast knows we three wholeheartedly support the rights of legal gun owners everywhere and speak loudly about it. Like the liberal media, someone on the forum took 1 5-second snippet of a soundbite and ran with it. And like the mainstream media absorbing sheep, others piled on. I never got involved in the conversation personally. I no longer argue or try to defend my views online. Nobody wins when valuable time is wasted arguing online. When someone's hell-bent on arguing, I'm usually spending time with my family. Or maybe I'm busy arming the good people of Houston with guns and concealed handgun licenses. Maybe I'm practicing drawing from concealment with my retention holster, constantly keeping track of my times and trying to improve myself while chuckling, knowing that the average keyboard blowhard spending all his time increasing his post count couldn't draw and fire on target near as fast, even while open carrying. The fact is, gun owners need to all be sticking together right now, and open carry is the least of our worries. The UN treaty's been struck down again, thanks to the NRA, who we support, so we don't have to worry about that for the next 6 months or so. But we do have a new alleged cybersecurity bill containing gun control measures. The amendment was sponsored by the usual suspects, Democrats Lautenberg, Boxer, Reid, Menendez, Gillibrand, Schumer, Feinstein, all from California, Rhode Island, New York,
Jackson
New Jersey.
Is not on that list?
She will be now that she realizes that she's not on it. SA 2575 would make it illegal to transfer or possess large capacity feeding devices such as gun mags, belts, feed strips, and drums of more than 10 rounds of ammo, with the exception of .22 caliber rimfire. The amendment is identical to a separate bill that's already sponsored by Lautenberg. Even more disturbing than the usual suspects were today's comments made by conservative Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia that the Second Amendment leaves room for U.S. legislatures to regulate guns, and that there were also locational limitations on where weapons could be carried. Scalia looks to the text of the Constitution, which confirms the right to bear arms, but also the context of 18th century history. They had some limitations on the nature of arms that could be born, he said. I think I missed that part in the Constitution. With all of these attacks on our freedoms, I implore those of you who may not be in lockstep with what we and other gun advocates with The Voice have to say to stick together at all costs and not badmouth and belittle those who think differently than you. With that, I'll give you my thoughts on open carry. Do I support it? Yes, I do. Any sort of restoration of our rights, I strongly support. Would I open carry? Nope. Out of sight, out of mind, surprise is the enemy to my enemy. Do I think there should be licensing for open carry? Yes. Now, before you go calling me a...
You just said regulation!
Fascist.
Fascist.
Now, before you go calling me fascist and other ridiculous charges, let me explain. The CHL licensing process does a fantastic job weeding out folks that gun control advocates would love to have carrying guns. Those people that would screw it up for everybody. Because you have to be responsible. You must learn your laws and liabilities. You have to take and pass a test. You must show shooting proficiency. You must pay a fee. You must submit to a background check. All of these are factors that contribute to the fact that less than 1% of CHL holders commit crimes while carrying. I believe without these standards in place, our CHL program would have failed a long time ago. While I'm a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment, I meet people nearly every day that have no business carrying a gun, especially open carrying. From the guy who wants to open carry while mowing his lawn to intimidate the new neighbors that don't look like him, to the low-life, face-tattoo street punks who, without laws and licensing, would freely open carry as well. The vast majority of the people I wouldn't want open carrying don't have their concealed handgun license because they refuse to go through the process. The process is a benefit because it assures mostly great, personally responsible, law-abiding people are carrying guns and not committing crimes with them. Personally, I believe our government is far too large. I believe there are way too many laws trampling and strangling our daily lives. I believe we would be far happier, or at least me would be far happier and more successful in our country if we had just enough laws to keep us into line and just close to falling into the abyss of anarchy. But I also believe free and unfettered access by all guns would push us into anarchy. Switzerland would be a good starting point for our compromise. Every home in Switzerland has a machine gun, and every family member goes through regular training with it. It's no surprise Switzerland also has the lowest crime rate in the world. Would it be a terrible idea to require regular training for those who wish to open carry? Training to open carry. I must be a fascist, right? Come on, people. We can put our heads together and make solutions. After all, we're citizens. We're not politicians. As gun owners, we're all in this together, like it or not.
I'm willing to bet you're going to get some calls.
You're going to get, man, you are so going to get hated.
Hate.
Well,
hate.
281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738.
Well, I'll touch on something.
I don't argue online. I've already said that.
Yeah. Well, I brought up in all the argument that we had online and stuff is that I'm against felons having guns. That would be my one thing. But the only way to determine if you're a felon is to go in, submit your fingerprints, and then they run you in the checks. Mm-hmm. And as long as you don't have any felonies against you, boom, knock yourself out. But the only way I can tell is if you come in and do the paperwork. Otherwise, guess what? Everybody's walking around with a gun. I got to actually stop, get your ID, run you, and find out. But by you having that little CHL card, you can hold it up, and I can go, oh.
We're done.
Well, that guy's got a clean record and a clean slate. Boom, move on about your business. Right. Have a good time, good citizen, and enjoy your life.
Well, I heard one argument that, the next check is there for that background check. My thing is that these are the same guys who said we shouldn't have had a next check. Okay? So it's like, well where do you want to... You just want everybody to say, screw it.
Well, but I can see both sides of the argument, too.
I can, too.
I can see them going, well, you have no right to check my background. I haven't done anything wrong in front of you. Shouldn't I just have that gun? I can see that.
I
actually can agree with that. Mm-hmm. But I can also see that the Brady campaign and others will wait. They're just waiting for the idiot to get a hold of that.
Right.
Let him have as much...
Let him have all the rope he wants to hang.
Let him have all the rope they want to hang him, and then we'll get them all and get all of their guns.
Well, look what they've already done with the psychopath who was under a psychiatrist's care.
Did I not tell you that was what was going to turn out to be the case?
Yep.
Did I not tell you that was how it was going to shake out? I have never known. Now, I mean, I'll admit this is probably
a bit biased. How many psychos have you known?
But I've never known anybody who has gone into studying neuroscience or psychiatry without having either been somewhere off themselves or being really close to somebody who was.
And now we're going to have psychiatrists calling and complaining.
They can call and complain all they want. They can't deny it because they know half of their classmates when they were in medical school needed to be on something.
But here's when they talk about checks. You know, we fill out our yellow form whenever we buy our guns, and it says on there, are you a fugitive of justice? Right. Are you a convicted felon? Are you a U.S. citizen? Yeah. All good standard questions.
Right.
One of them asks if you're currently under a psychiatrist's care. Now, I can call and check NCIC and do my NIC check right there and find out if you're a convicted felon or not.
Right.
That's fine.
But HIPAA compliance won't let you check that.
Because it's a violation of their privacy.
Right.
Okay, so liberals say you shouldn't have a gun. Okay, well, I just want to make sure he's not a psychotic. Well, you can't check that. That's against his privacy.
Exactly.
Well,
but
this
you
is want where to
know everything about my criminal
the
history.
The complexities, though, of what we're having to deal with, though. Mm-hmm. You know, he should have a right to own a firearm. Everybody should have that right. I agree with that 100%. If you're off your nut or crazy or see, you know, voices in your head telling you to do stuff or the dog like Son of Sam telling you to do stuff, yeah, maybe we should hold back on that. But I'm not allowed to check that. Well, liberals don't get it both ways. If you want us to be able to check and keep the guns out of the hands of people who shouldn't have them, then I need to be able to check that.
Mm-hmm. Let's head out to the phone line, fellas. Let's go out to Ken in Spring. Ken, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away.
Good evening, fellas.
How you doing?
How you doing, Ken?
Doing well, bro. Doing well. Now, I just wanted to say, Jeff, since you're not going to do the online thing, plus one, LOL, and true that, and whatever the hell else they say. you can be guaranteed, you know, I would think that even in our relatively small community that people would be more like-minded, but the human factor enters in. There's always folks in whichever crowd that you know, want to take things to extremes. And, yeah, I don't want a felon carrying, you know? They already did a big enough boo-boo in the past. Who says they won't snap? And do you really think somebody that was a nutcase and went into an asylum is going to say, well, yes, I am mentally unstable, so no, you shouldn't sell me the firearm?
You know, I arrested a guy who was off his meds that Jeff and Gary have heard this story. A guy was basically trying to split my head open with a bat. And after all was said and done and we get him cuffed up and he's in the backseat of the car and his family shows up, they basically say, well, he's just off his meds. This never happens, but he just went off his meds for a couple days. As long as he's on his meds, he's fine. And my thought would be, okay, so he might be fine for another year or two, and then one day he goes off his meds for a couple days, and he tries to kill somebody else.
Dyes his hair orange and runs into a movie theater.
Yes. Hence the problem. And he had the quote-unquote assault Louisville slugger, but I guarantee you I was just as afraid of that at the time.
Well, now, the proper way to react with that would be to feel sorry for him and pay for his food over the next month to make him feel better.
Yes.
Yeah.
If he needs his foot massage, well, you know, sorry, dude. You got to take one for the team, man. Y'all take care.
Thank you very
Ken,
much,
thank you for calling. We appreciate your contribution to Guns Over Texas. Yeah. Let's head out to Southeast Houston and talk to Jim. Jim, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Jim?
Howdy. I've got a couple of very politically incorrect questions.
Okay.
First of all, 68 gun law made felon in possession a federal offense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the last 6 months, how many felon in possessions have the U.S. attorney in Houston filed?
Is this an answer that you know?
Yeah, pretty close to zero because they won't. They want our guns. They don't want the bad guys. Second question, in relate to the crime rate in Switzerland, the gun crime rate in Switzerland, what proportion of the demographic in Switzerland is Negroid, and what proportion is illegal immigrant Hispanic?
Really?
Wow.
I think I'll pass that to Gary.
Gary.
You know, so because we have 12% of our population is Negroid, therefore our crime rate is higher? Is that what we're getting at?
Well, no.
I'm going to step out in the lobby.
I'm looking at the recent experience in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Where Rahm Emanuel refuses to disclose the racial makeup of the massive amount of increase in gun crime assailants.
The thing is that to me it's irrelevant.
It is irrelevant. I will agree with you. I mean, if you're screwing up with a gun, you're screwing up with a gun and shouldn't be having one anymore and should be in jail. You know? And unfortunately, you know, low crime.
Well, wait, there's another challenge here, and that is, you know, how many felon in possession cases have been filed? Because, you know, I'm not privy to that information. I don't have the exact number of prosecutions because that's usually not information that's just out there for anybody to have.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're telling us that it's zero, but how do we know that?
I called them on Wednesday, and that's what they said. They don't file those cases. They expect the state to file those cases.
So the state files it.
But okay, but it doesn't mean the charge went away. It just means it's easier to get the conviction in state court when the federal court might be tied up with other cases that are going on.
All right. If you're a sporting man, what would you like to wager on the convictions of federal felon possession cases in the Southern District of Texas?
Well, again, where do we get that information from?
From the court records.
So you've reviewed all the court records to see that?
I haven't, but I've placed a couple of phone calls. Mm-hmm. You know, it's informal stuff.
Yeah, but you might be talking to the clerk at the front desk as opposed to the actual attorney who's in charge of prosecuting.
I mean, that's the thing, is
that
we
stuff.
Can't give out that information and tell somebody it's a fact if we can't back it up.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not very high, but still, I know it's not zero.
Would y'all be interested in that information?
Oh, yeah. If you can actually, you know, cite the source and tell us so and so on this date and time said this, and actually back it all up, then fine.
At Jeff or Gary at gunsovertexasradio.com, you can email that to either one of us. And, you know, instead of looking at it,
and in 6 months, Jeff will check his email.
I check my email every day.
Looking at Chicago, instead of looking at it as a racial point of view, mm-hmm. why don't we look at it as a political backer point of view? Who's causing all the problems?
Right.
Democrats.
Typically.
Who's committing all the crimes?
Right.
Democrats.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
the thing is, I'm being calm about this, but.
Incredibly.
A lot calmer than I thought you would be. I was about to say, thank goodness that these microphones are bolted down to the table.
But, you know, I don't get how race is a factor, because that's like saying that, you know, that remember the old adage that, you know, well, you have to keep these black men aside because they're just going to up and rape some white woman because that's just what they're doing. And it's like, you know, it's absolute BS.
And jazz music is going to destroy all youth.
Yes. and rock and roll is the death of us.
Yes. This Elvis is going to be the end of society.
Marijuana makes the Indians rape the white woman.
Doesn't it? Yes, yes. Yes.
So I can't go with that.
Yeah, we can't go with that one.
But we appreciate your call, Jim. And you know, certainly, you know, we're glad you contributed.
You've stirred the pot. We appreciate
stirred the pot.
That.
Yeah. Yep.
If you would like to stir the pot, you can give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more Guns Over Texas. Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. We're talking guns, gear, ammo, CHLs, open carry, crime rates, all kinds of stuff. Give us a call if you want to get involved in the action at 281-558-5738.
And I just want to note to Mr. Patrick, the studio is still safe. Unlike the last time we dealt with such ignorance.
That's 281-558-5738.
No microphones have been damaged in the taping of this show.
All the producers are in place.
There are no holes in the walls. I haven't dropped any F-bombs on the air.
No laptops have been thrown through a glass window.
You know, I think we're doing pretty good.
I think we're good to go. All right. So we were talking open carry versus concealed carry. That's been a hot topic.
And it may be that we just immediately squelched a lot of the jazz that was going on, because there was a misunderstanding that somehow we were saying, well, nobody should do it because we don't do it. And it's like, we've never said that. Mm-hmm. If you want to do it and it's legal, knock yourself out. And if you happen to live in a place where that's all you got, by all means. But when you have a choice, I just don't think that it offers any tactical advantage.
I wholeheartedly agree, and out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at, I don't want to go out and stir the pot. You mm-hmm. know, when I go to Starbucks, I don't want to wear a gun and have all the little hippies in there go all the little emo kids go crazy and running out with the psychopath with the gun on.
It's not just
and then
that
stir
that
up all the Democrats.
But it's not just that you have. I mean, I heard one guy who was saying, you know, well, it just made me feel good that someone walked up and thanked me for you know, practicing my rights. And I'm going, really?
Well, out of sight, out
and
of
ego
mind.
Ego stroking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In my opinion, out of sight, out of mind, the less we have to, the less they see, the less gun control advocates see, the less we have to deal with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Imagine if everybody started, you know, if we had open carry, they would go ballistic and wait for another instance like this guy in Colorado.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I will say this, is that if open carry were more common, then it is likely that it would cause less political strife. In the sense that people would get used to it.
Well, let's teach it in school again. Yeah, well, that's something that somebody said on
Yeah, that's on actually the forum. Something I could get behind. And I honestly think that if we were, you know, we have compulsory
guns
education.
Have been made so taboo.
Right. And if you actually taught kids about guns from the get go, such that just basic shooting skills are common knowledge, such that the understanding that you can't just whip a gun out because you feel like it is common knowledge. Because I have to deal with, I mean, you've probably dealt with it too, as CHL instructors. How many goofball questions do we really get in these classes?
Or how about this? How about when you're teaching a CHL class? Mm-hmm. Or how about when you're at the range?
Right.
And somebody is wearing their gun, mm-hmm. and they walk in, and they just have to take their gun out and show everybody.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's loaded. Right. They're going to whip that sucker out, point it at six different people.
Right. And that's just a basic etiquette thing that has never been taught outside of organized classes.
Yeah, and so the easier access to the guns, I would think, from what I've seen working around guns every day, the easier access. If it's concealed, nobody's really going to want to take that gun out of their holster.
Nobody wants to go through the trouble.
Because they got to put it back in.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. But if it's easily accessible right there, they whip those things out like crazy.
You know, when the new wears off also, like in the police station, if you've got 500 people, we all have a gun on. Nobody cares to see what you're, oh, you got one, yeah, so I don't care.
Yeah,
leave it in your holster and nobody's going to hurt themselves. Right. And guess what? No holster, I mean, no gun in a holster has ever gone off. It's when people start taking them off and playing with them.
No. Didn't one go off in Detroit?
Serpas. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
No, it didn't. It didn't.
I know it didn't. Actually, did you hear the other angle of that story?
No, let's get on that in just a second.
We'll get back to that one.
Let's head out to the phone lines. Let's talk to Joe in Cypress. Joe, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Joe?
Hi, how are you guys today?
Great, thank you, sir.
Joe, how you doing?
Good. Well, first of all, I am a CHL holder, and I've had my CHL since the day they became available.
Good for you, sir.
And I carry virtually all the time, except where you're not supposed to. And basically, I have a little bit of a problem with your comment about Justice Scalia. I watched the interview, I've taped the interview, and I'm going to rewatch it. I don't think he really said anything about the right to keep and bear arms that was taken literally. He was talking about, he specifically mentioned cannons. And obviously, I don't think you can bear a cannon if you get down to it. The other thing he mentioned, there could be a problem with a grenade launcher. And I agree with that. I don't think anyone should be allowed to have grenade launchers. Number one, I don't know where the hell you get the ammunition.
It sure would be fun, though. Imagine going out to the country with one of those
things.
I don't
know, man, because I think I'd like to have a Mark 19 myself.
Yeah, but I think he was very tempered in his remarks. I think he didn't want to just come out and say just exactly where he would go. But number one, he's not the type of guy that I think that I know that would just go out and automatically say, no, you can't have a 100-mound
I was shocked when I read.
Actually, no, I'm not shocked, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. When the Heller decision was handed down, that was one of the things that they said, was that, yes, the Second Amendment doesn't confer, it guarantees an individual right to keep and bear arms. Okay.
The right was already there.
The right was already there.
Yes.
Okay. So it guarantees it, does not confer it. So that's the one. So even if you repeal it, there is no question the right already existed.
Right.
But like the First Amendment, it is subject to some degree of regulation, is what he said. Historically, unfortunately, I can't disagree with him. Because the classic example is, well, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. That's not the real example. The real example is things like libel. And slander. Those are limitations within the First Amendment. So you can't just run out and say whatever you want.
Unless you're David Dewhurst.
Unless your name is Duke. There's
great
also
comment there.
Yeah. And so there's also the issue of, you know, you so there are some limitations even on the First Amendment, which right. I personally think is guaranteed by the Second. Okay.
Let me make one more comment.
Yes, sir.
You said something just a few minutes ago about Starbucks. I love Starbucks coffee, and I go to Starbucks quite a bit. And I am carrying when I go to Starbucks the majority of the time, obviously not openly. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Washington State does have open carry.
Yes, sir.
And I don't recall right off the top of my head whether you have to qualify beforehand, you have to submit to get the right to do that. I think you do. But in any event, there was a big stink that Starbucks shouldn't allow people to open carry in their coffee houses.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
they told them absolutely the people could do as they wished because they believed in the Constitution of the United States. And until there was something that said you couldn't, they could.
Right.
So while Starbucks may have some idiots that frequent their places, whatever the case is, I think that's a good corporate decision.
Right. I wholeheartedly agree. I support Starbucks and the way that they handled that. And I believe that happened in California, too.
Yeah,
everybody had to be slide locked
open. What Starbucks said was they will follow the law of the states of the stores that they have to
and
reside
good in. For them. And right. and Starbucks had like an all-time record profit day, too, when they had the, the I Support Starbucks Day or something like that. So
well, business, I mean, Starbucks' business is to make a good cup of coffee. It's not to tell you how to live your life. You want to make a good cup of coffee or a good product or whatever it is, you're in business to make business, not to shove politics down people's throats. At least that's the way it should be.
Well,
that's my 2 cents worth, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate you. Now, if we're going to talk Starbucks,
Chick-fil-A.
Let's talk Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. Okay. Chick-fil-A, the Support Chick-fil-A Day, I believe, is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been able to eat Chick-fil-A in, God, probably 9 or 10 months now because of the diet I've been on.
He is a, but you are a,
I will be cheating on Wednesday.
Machine. You are, yes.
I will be cheating on Wednesday.
And for those out there who don't know what the Chick-fil-A is, you need to go a little bit of background on it for it, Jeff.
Well, the
whole thing started was Dan
Chick-fil-A.
Caffey made a statement. He was being interviewed, and he stated what should have been obvious to anybody who's actually paid attention to the way Chick-fil-A does business, which is that they were founded on Christian principles, and they use Christian values in the way they run their business. And they support and recognize the sanctity of a traditional marriage. Mm-hmm. That was their statement. At no point in time did he say that if you're gay, you can't come in the store.
He never said anything anti-gay. He just said he supported gay marriage.
Right.
Traditional marriage.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right.
But he never said you can't come here. There was never your, go away or you'll burst into flames.
Now, me personally, I could care less who marries who. It's not my right
either.
To tell anybody who they should, you know, spend the rest of their life with. But I will support somebody's First Amendment rights, their free speech.
Yeah, he's got every right to say what he wants and think what he thinks. But now, at the end of the day, here's the other thing. Each individual, and I happen to know some people who own Chick-fil-A restaurants, each one of these is owned by an independent business owner and franchisee. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, if you're going to go boycott, you know, you're not really messing with the Caffeys. You're messing with local
the franchisees,
jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this is somebody locally who's supporting their community because I don't know of any Chick-fil-A restaurateurs in Houston, at least, who don't spend, you know, at least half their time giving back to the community, either providing jobs to kids or daily
supporting all the local
or,
softball teams and soccer teams.
Chick-fil-A on Cutton in 1960 has donated a ton of stuff to Shiloh Shooting Range when we've done charities there and benefits there.
So, I mean, so can you say that about, you know, your local McDonald's or your Burger King and how much do they do it by comparison?
And think about it this way, too. This is another reason to support Chick-fil-A. The quality of people that they hire in that drive-thru, is there a faster drive-thru in the country?
No. And 100% fluent in whatever language we choose to use around us, which
that's
is typically English.
Right.
But I'll give them this. Chick-fil-A is not my favorite place to eat, but it's always clean. They always are speaking English in there, and it's
well, and
they, say,
and they're
wonderful
always
thing.
I've not been in one that you didn't get a kind.
Never been treated rudely.
Exactly.
Never been condescended to.
Yeah.
Never been looked at like, I get on that in a minute.
Right. Yeah, you know? No, they were glad to have you, glad to have your business. And
if they were truly trying to stuff the religious beliefs down your throat, it's a Mormon-owned company, all right? So they still serve Coca-Cola and Dr. Pepper there. I'm pretty sure it's Mormon, isn't it?
They're Mormon.
I don't think they are.
Okay, then I retract that all together.
And according to the Mormons at the range, that Dr. Pepper and Coca-Cola thing is a falsehood.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I was wondering. It's like,
that's
I thought
right.
they
you
couldn't
got
have,
one or two, don't you?
I thought they couldn't have caffeine, but he serves caffeinated drinks there, so I guess he's not trying to stuff it in anything. All right, I totally retract that.
Yes, thank you.
Let me back off of that one.
Yes. Look, leave it to the guy who's got a badge to give us misinformation.
Uh-oh. Because I'm out to take away your rights, damn it.
Yes.
Now, hey, that being said, though, I have arrested in the past, it's been about 3 years since the first one, but we arrested two people with valid concealed carry permits that were in the middle of doing some pretty nefarious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So happen.
Yeah, it does happen. Nobody's ever said that it doesn't. It's just that it's not.
It's a much lower quantity of crime than compared to the rest of society.
Yeah, it's like not even 0.1%, last I checked, compared to maybe 3% of the regular population.
One of them, after he rammed into a couple of police cars, decided as he got out on foot when he couldn't ram anymore, the first thing that went flying out of the car as he came out of it was his gun. I don't think he wanted any part of anything else.
But. Imagine that.
He hummed it like a softball and tried to run, but that didn't work out well either.
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, Houston. We'll be back with more Guns Over Texas. Give us a call. Get involved in the conversation. 281-558-5738. Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. We're talking guns, gear, ammo, anything you want to talk about, open carry versus concealed carry, anything you want. Now, I read an interesting article just a little while ago. Who would have thought that legal gun sales in California are on pace to set a record this year?
I would have thought it.
The Department of Justice expects that 725,000 rifles, pistols, and shotguns will be legally purchased in 2012. Mm-hmm. That's about 100,000 more pistols and rifles than expected, and I imagine probably even more guns are not being reported.
Yeah.
Purchased legally, but they don't want people to know how many people are really buying guns in California.
So. Yeah.
What do you think that's about, Gary?
Well, it's called control.
I mean, why do you think even more,
we always see an uptick. It's just reality. Every time we have a mass shooting, we see an uptick. And anytime we're in an election year and there is the threat of more gun control, we always see an uptick.
Yeah, and I have several friends, in the law enforcement community that have called me in the past 2 weeks wanting to buy. And it's like, well, we get issued this, we've got this, blah, blah, blah. I want to buy my own. Right. Where do I need to go? What do I need to do? And trust me, just because you're a cop doesn't mean you know anything about guns, because I've had to talk many a folk out of this great DPMS that they found online for only $1,300.
Ouch!
Yeah, it's like, what the hell?
Okay, now if you're paying six, go right ahead. But
$600 is a good price point for a DPMS. $1,300? Yeah,
that's a bit much.
God.
Well, in the first 2 hours of being open yesterday, which was mainly CHL classes qualifying at Shiloh Shooting Range, we sold four guns.
That doesn't surprise me.
Two CHL classes. It was actually about a CHL class.
And for a
class
shop
a
that
half.
Doesn't primarily sell guns.
That's because that's not your bread and butter. You sell guns on the side.
Oh, and on the day, it was like eight or nine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the most encouraging thing to me. We like to arm good people. And, back in 08, when it was still just my dad and I
not
working
just
there.
White people?
Good people. He said good. Don't hit
I'm
me.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought that up. I just, I can't get that call out of my head.
Well, it's okay, Gary, man. We still love you. You arm good law-abiding people.
Oh, man. I got to get back on track. So, the good law-abiding people. We like to sell to good people. And when my dad and I were still working there together, it was back in 08. It was before the elections. And this was when people were just frantic to buy a gun.
Right.
And we'd ask him, well, why do you want the gun? I don't know. I just got to have it.
Because I don't know if I'll be able to buy another one later.
Because typically all these bans are grandfathered. Like, if you've already got it, whatever you've got, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, well, so then we'd ask him, well, do you plan on ever, you know, using the gun? You know, are you going to learn how to use it? Well, no.
Right.
Okay, well, I'm going to sell it to somebody who is going to learn how to use it. Mm-hmm. Well, now, especially since the Aurora shooting, mm-hmm. CHLs have gone through the roof at the range. And the best thing, in my opinion, has been the personal lessons. Mm-hmm. The number of lessons that we've scheduled mm-hmm. is just
I'm going to have to take on another instructor. They realize that they're on their own. It's not a dig against the police, but the reality is
the police were at the theater at the time.
They were, but before they actually touched, you know, made contact with him, mm-hmm. all the shooting and killing he was planning to do was done.
Probably in under a minute.
You know, and so the lesson there, and it, you know, we even posted a video today that's from the city of Houston, and yes, I wrote him kind of hard, but it is a good video, by the way.
I guess if you're willing to not own a gun and that's all you've got, you should learn to duck and cover and run.
You should learn to duck, cover, run, hide, and use a...
Or beat someone with a fire extinguisher.
Exactly. You know, if you're not going to fight. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're actually going to be in a gunfight, then be ready for a gunfight. But, mm-hmm. It's the reality is that you are on your own until somebody gets there. Mm-hmm. You know,
you mean they won't magically appear when I call 911?
Well, here's the thing. And, you know, I actually cited this in a recent CHL class, and I've since had one of the students contact me because they had this experience and suddenly realized what I was talking about. Call 911 sometime, you know, if you see a real emergency. Don't do it for fun. But but the experience of calling 911 these days is not you call 911 and your call is immediately routed to the local Houston dispatch, okay? Because in this day and age, most of us are calling from a cell phone. So the first call you hit is actually is a call router, 911 call router for your carrier, whoever that may be. Mm-hmm. And they'll ask what city you in, right? Well, let's say that you're in a place like Houston where you've got Houston, Bel Air, Stafford.
A-Leaf, Sugarland.
Yeah. You know, how many of these small towns that have their own 911 dispatch? But you say, well, you're in Houston, but it should have gone to Stafford or Sugarland. So there's that confusion. You know, and you make the call. Okay, great. Well, how long does it take to do the call? Have you actually seen what that's like? Because they're going to go, what's your name? You know, what's your phone number? Where are you calling from? And, oh, by the way, do you want fire, EMS, or police?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how long does it take to sort all this out? Well, if there's bullets whizzing past your head, do you really feel like answering those questions? Do you want to be on the phone answering those questions, calling attention to yourself, while there's somebody out looking to shoot you?
Knowing a lot of officers, unfortunately, in my line of work, another big problem is a lot of people call 911 for the stupidest reason.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a dog barking next door too loud. I'm going to call 911.
Which means that you're tied up now on a complete BS call.
Horrible amount of calls that horrible amount of police resources are wasted on. My kid is throwing a tantrum.
Right.
Really?
Why my neighbor's barbecue pit is putting smoke in my backyard.
Oh, you'd be amazed what people will call 911 for. It is if you're not on fire, bleeding, or dying, there is probably not a reason to call 911.
Correct. Yeah.
That's what the police are there for. They're not your social worker. They're not there to hold your hand. They're not there to raise your kid. They are there to confront violence, to stop robberies, to investigate crimes. They are not there to be a social worker.
Mm-hmm. What happens to people who abuse the 911?
Pretty much nothing.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, they're charged with filing
a false
report
but, you know, for the most part, people call 911 for some silly reasons.
There was a lady who called because she didn't get her order right in a drive.
Oh, that has happened more than once. Call because you didn't get enough shrimp in your shrimp fried rice.
Yeah, and meanwhile, somebody could be getting raped or beaten or something like that, and police are having to deal with this craziness.
Yes.
So that's the thing, is that knowing that all of those calls are out there in that system, somehow you think that your call is going to – and don't get me wrong. There are certain terms that you can use, and that prioritizes your call, and that's all great.
But you got to wait for somebody to get to that call.
Exactly.
And then when you say, they're shooting me, where, boom, and they can come. But I might have to wait for 4 to 5 minutes on hold until they get to me for you to yell, hey, they're shooting at me.
Right.
I always tell our students and our customers that they need to program where they live, the local precinct, the number there into their phone and call that.
Yeah, if you can. But, you know, where that falls apart is – and let's just face it, the one time you need 911, you will not be at home.
Yeah.
You won't be in that general jurisdiction. You'll be somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know?
And imagine everybody has touchscreen phones these days. Mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to use that touchscreen when your fingers are dripping with sweat.
Yes.
And, or blood.
Or blood, yeah. And your adrenaline's going through the roof and you're shaking.
Right.
So have that number on speed dial.
Yeah, because phone designers don't think about bloody phones. I've noticed that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. iPhones do not work well covered. In fact, they get weirded out when they have blood on them.
You know this?
I'm just saying, Surrey does not play well with a bloody phone.
Does anybody else have trouble with the iPhone, with it hitting mute with your face?
I don't use Apple products.
Like when I'm talking on the phone, it touches my cheek, touches the mute button.
Yes.
Drives me insane. I'm going to have to be one of those people that walks around with that thing stuck in my ear. And that drives me even crazier because I laugh at those people because I always think that they're talking to themselves and then I see the thing in their ear.
That's because you already talk to yourself.
It's intelligent conversation, what can I say?
Didn't you get a chance to shoot something this week?
I did. The XDS, which I was able to hold one a couple weeks ago, and this time I was actually able to shoot it. And
let me guess, you're a convert to the XD system now, and all the stuff we've said bad about them in the past is forgotten.
I will tell you that I shot it accurately. Did I enjoy shooting it? Not at all. My finger, my trigger finger was almost bloody by the time I was done with 40 rounds. Mm-hmm. There is actually a bruise on my finger from it. And I don't know when.
So is that from like the trigger reset or something? Or?
I believe so. Either that or my finger slamming into the trigger guard. One of the two. But, you know, I've got rather large hands, and one of our other employees went back there and shot it. He didn't have the same issues.
Okay.
But I had to labor to get through 40 rounds. And, I mean, I thought I was going to shoot
the
whole box.
Well, you got trouble with the phone button, so, I mean, you know.
I have no trouble with the shield, with any of my SIGs, with my M&P.
Well, and the shield being a 9mm versus a 45, the recoil impulse could be a little bit different, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But with the size and the weight of that pistol, how is it as far as controllability?
The pistol itself was the same size as the shield. I mean, it was remarkably
similar.
And this
was what caliber?
45.
45.
You it's know, 5 plus 1 of 45.
That's a stout, you know, Jeff, that's a pretty stout, you know, cartridge in a small gun.
Yeah.
So I could see where you might find that, you know, that might have some controllability issues.
I shot it accurately. Mm-hmm. I didn't enjoy it at all. I mean, that was to the point that I understood within the first 10 rounds that I was never going to own that gun. Now, if you want one, I'll do my best to get one for you, but that's not going to be a personal gun of my own.
Yeah.
Are you having issues getting guns in general now?
They are harder to get. There's been a huge spike, especially since the Aurora shooting. Mm-hmm. It seems like as soon as we get them in, they're out the door again.
And, you know, I'm glad that everybody wants to carry it. I'm glad they're getting their CHLs and they're buying guns and so forth, but how many people are going to go take the class, buy the gun, put it in their nightstand, and never touch it again?
It's a lucky rabbit's foot.
Bugs the hell out of me.
Well, that's something we heard from a Smith & Wesson representative one time, was that the average number of bullets put through all the guns that are purchased in the United States, if you take all the guns and average out the number of rounds that have been fired through them, it's 6.
Oh, it dropped.
6 rounds.
Wow.
Because Colt years ago, 30-plus years ago, Colt said it was 7.
Well, 30 years ago, guns weren't so taboo.
Ah, so the number has dropped.
It's gone down.
Wow.
It's gone
and
down.
And the only reason it's 6 is because of guys like us.
I do have to say we took in some AK-47s yesterday from a good customer who bought them back in 07 or 08, Elk River. Mm-hmm. AKs from built by T.R. Graham. And for anybody who knows anything about guns, especially in Houston, T.R. Graham is a wonderful
AK Smith.
Yeah.
AK Glock. Yes.
And so took in 4. 2 are already gone. So if you're looking for a quality AK, the Elk River, I've got 2 left at Shiloh Shooting Range.
And that's what I had bought even back in the day. I looked all around town and I ended up with an Elk River and very happy with
them. Oh, man, I can't get over the action and the trigger on them. They are just really fine rifles. I'm going to have a hard time not keeping one myself. As a matter of fact, close of business Tuesday if I still have one of them.
It's probably
going
to be yours.
Going home.
All right.
Let's head out to Meyerland and talk to Mitch. Mitch, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Mitch?
Yes, sir. How y'all doing?
Pretty good, sir. How are you?
Oh, doing great. Just enjoying this beautiful weather. Mm-hmm. But anyway, now I had a question. You know, they've got a program set up now where you can be
pre-screened.
No, not pre-trained, but pre-screened by the TSA so that, you know, you don't have to get totally naked to go through the line.
Mm-hmm.
They let you keep your shoes on and things like that.
Don't you pay for that privilege?
You mean you don't want to be fondled by the Sandusky agency?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm not that modest, but I'm sure some of the people would be shocked. See? But anyway, long and short of it, I was wondering how our already having our carrier permits and licenses mm-hmm. and having had that investigation, as I understand they do a local, state, and national. I don't know if they go to FBI or anything, but, you know, we've been pretty well looked into already. I wonder if that right. would help us qualify.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if TSA is going to do that, but it would be cool if they did.
I don't know, only because the difference is that, you know, quote unquote, you have a constitutional right to own a gun. Mm-hmm. There's no constitutional guarantee to your freedom to fly, and that's kind of where it gets into differences about the rules of
right.
what they can and can't allow and stuff.
Somebody else's area.
Yeah, and it's a private industry. You're buying space on a Continental or wherever that's owned by somebody else.
So Continental should have screeners.
Right. Well,
you know, have the option.
Totally different. Different argument.
Yeah, but carriers do have that option if you're asking. I mean, that's
But isn't there? There's like one airport in Florida that uses private screeners.
Yeah,
and that's
mm-hmm.
it.
Exactly.
Well, you know, the thing was, I mean, since we'd already been so investigated mm-hmm. and so forth, I thought it might be a shortcut.
It is not currently that I know of a shortcut with any at any gate in the U.S. But mm-hmm. I get where you're coming from, and I actually think that would be kind of cool,
mm-hmm.
And I think it would make sense. We already use it as a shortcut to bypass NICS.
Yeah.
And so it would be cool if we did that. I just don't know that anybody's got injured. I don't know that you'll get traction to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll work it out somehow. But mm-hmm. And then I have one other question. I was looking at this Timberwolf by Lone Wolf.
Uh-huh.
Looks like an interesting firearm. I was wondering if y'all had any experience with it.
I haven't yet. I mean, I've seen pictures of it, but that's about it.
I've fondled a couple of them. I haven't shot one yet, and it doesn't look bad. But by the same token, there's nothing wrong with a Glock that a Timberwolf is necessarily fixing, except costing a little bit more. I don't see anything wrong with it, but I also don't see what advantage it has over the stock gun that it's copying.
Well, you know, I'll say that the grip panels actually.
The grip panels are different, but now that you have the Gen 4 Glock, and you can also do a grip reduction on the Glock to make it a straight back strap also.
Well, yeah, but I think that there's execution of the back strap is better.
Okay. Well,
I mean, you know, the only thing is I haven't checked. I don't know if they're legal for competition or not.
I don't know. I haven't seen a whole lot of them.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with them. I just don't see what they're doing that's that much better.
Yeah, like I said, it's a different angle. It's a slightly different angle, so that works better for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And it's an 18 shooter.
Right.
Uh-huh.
It's an 18 shooter.
Correct.
Yeah. And but I was just wondering about the opinion on that. But, hey, I appreciate it, and we'll see if we can at least flash those licenses and see if it helps.
Yep. All righty, sir.
Take care.
Thank you, Mitch. Right. Now, if he's looking at the Timberwolf, I would say take a look at the Zev Industries Glocks. Have y'all seen those?
I have not seen one of those.
Oh, man. They are fine. They are something else. I'm hoping to get one of those in the shop here shortly.
I've got to Google that up and see what one is.
Let's head out to Memorial City while you guys are on Google and talk to Jim. Jim, welcome to Guns Over Texas.
Yes, I got a couple of quick questions. One, I'm on the list, I understand, for the Shield. Is there any movement yet?
I've been on that list for about 5 months now.
I'm hoping it happens. But anyway, the other question is, a week or two ago, one of y'all mentioned you were going to be testing the Kel-Tec shotgun, the one that's the 13-round shotgun. Has that happened yet?
I don't know if we were saying we were testing it. I'm interested in seeing one. I'm interested in getting a hold of one, but we haven't come. I mean, I've never even seen one. It's I see them online, and certain distributors have them. But as far as at a gun show or a gun shop, I have still yet to actually see one.
I think Jeff is trying to get one, but I don't know how close. Jeff, how close are you getting to get one of those, if at all?
I don't know. If they call me and say I've got them, I'll get it. But it's nothing I would want in my own personal arsenal.
Oh, come on. It's worth trying out.
Mm-hmm. I bet that thing hurts. There's bound to be somebody out there that has one of those things. If you've got that Kel-Tec shotgun, give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. And let us know what you think about it, because none of us have shot one.
No, and Jim, I'll tell you how it's. I hate to say what's going to happen, but I can already predict this, Jim. There's many guns that I've looked at on paper, and I've read the article and thought that's going to be the greatest thing in the world.
And
I handled
it
and messed with it and said, I don't know. And then I shot it and said, wow, what a piece of junk.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised. This is one of those guns that I want to like, but I don't know if I will like. But I like the concept.
Maybe it's their one in a million good one. We can hope.
We're hoping, sir. Trust me.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jim. I have to give it to him. I've shot a couple of the PMRs. Actually, three or four of them lately. And those are pretty fun to shoot.
Which one is the PMR?
That's that 30-round 22 mm-hmm. mag.
For all the 22 mag high-capacity needs I've had in my life?
Yeah. Hey, like we've talked about before, there are some people who may have arthritis could. Or something like right. that, and it's an easy yep. gun to shoot. It's very light.
Yep.
And it's ugly as all get out, and it's like having a brick in your hand, but the size of it. But other than
that, first language.
Yeah, there you go. Houston, we're going to take our 7-minute commercial break, so hold on, and we'll be back with more Guns Over Texas.
Voice of Texas. This is Guns Over Texas. Jeff Sanford and Gary Montgomery are the gun nuts. They believe in America. They fight for your Second Amendment rights. They teach safety, advanced shooting skills, and responsible gun ownership. They just love guns. Guns Over Texas starts now.
Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. We've had a lively first hour, and we're looking forward to more liveliness in hour number two. So if you have any questions, comments, you just want to get involved in the fun, you can give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. No topic off limits. We've been talking concealed carry versus open carry. Talked a little Chick-fil-A.
A little racism.
We're covering all the bases today.
I want to go back to Aurora, Colorado.
Let's go.
We were talking about this on the break there. The news was all over when it first happened that he had an AK-47 he has this, he has that, he had tear gas, he had a grenade launcher, he had blah, blah, blah. But now that the truth is coming out a lot more about what actually happened in there, it's changing a little bit. Mm-hmm. And nobody's bringing up, they all want to run to the initial reports the night of, he was body armored up.
And turns out he's not.
It turns out he wasn't wearing any body armor. Turns out that he was wearing a Black Hawk assault vest that Black Hawk has actually issued a statement saying this is what he bought from us. Mm. And they had the receipts and everything on there. And according to this, he bought a $106.99 Black Hawk Urban Assault Vest, a $52 Omega Black Hawk Elite Triple Magazine Pouch, a $52 M16 Magazine Pouch, and a $77 Black Hawk B-horned Sliver Knife.
All with his government grant?
Pretty much. So with shipping, it came out to $306 of stuff he bought from Black Hawk. And I'm still loving the thing that...
You mean to tell me none of that stuff will stop a bullet?
Well, I don't know. I've seen Deadpool...
I mean, it's an assault vest.
You know. And it is from Black Hawk, so you look really cool doing it. But in the end...
I'm sure, he looked very tactical.
None of that stuff... I mean, it was all just illusion. It made him look and feel cool, but
it was dressing up for Halloween.
He dressed up to feel cool because that's what I see the police and the military do. But in the end, it provided him no significant advantage. Now, if he'd learned how to clear a frickin' jam out of his gun,
he might have been dangerous.
Okay, thank God he didn't know how to clear a jam.
Why did he have the jam? Because he's a tool who thought it would be cool to have a 100-round drum. Right. Are 100-round drum magazines reliable? Absolutely not.
Why do you if they worked, don't you think the military and police would be using them?
Of course.
But they don't work. And why don't they work? Because basically, if you load them all up and we'll get phone calls, someone will go, I have my beta mag,
and it works 100% of the time.
When you sit at the bench in the shooting range, it works all the time.
Right.
Go hang it on the bottom of your gun and patrol around Iraq or Afghanistan, bang it against the Humvee, bang it on the ground a few times when you're going prone and standing up doing whatever, and then see how well it works. It ain't.
Yeah. We've had that debate at the P90 magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, God.
You drop one of those when it's partially loaded and see how it works afterwards.
Spontaneously disassembles itself. I mean, you look at AK mags, they're bomb-proof. There's absolutely no reason for them to switch. The AR mag, it could be better, but the P mags are pretty damn sturdy. You can jump on them, run over them, mm-hmm. bop up and down on them. They're still going to work. So if he had bought three 90-round
P mags, 30 round.
He would have done far more damage. I'm not saying, oh, I wish he would have done more damage, God forbid, because I don't want anybody to get hurt. But the fact that the guy was a tool and didn't know what he was doing actually helped a lot of
folks. Saved a lot of lives, actually.
You know,
absolutely.
That he didn't get training and he didn't know what he was doing.
I agree. And what's part of the ban that they're trying to introduce in
cybersecurity?
High capacity
magazine. He
100 round beta drums.
Yeah. But the fact is, that's what jammed up his gun and prevented him from doing it.
It's a benefit for legal civilians. It's a benefit.
The logic just escapes.
No, the whole thing is that they're politicians, which means they just have to do something. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. Just do something.
But it's already against the law to break into the movie theater. It was against the law for him to have the gun. It was against the law to shoot people.
It was against the theater rules for him to bring guns in there.
You mean he violated the rule?
He violated the rule. He broke the law.
So that's the thing, is that even there had been CHL carriers, somebody with a CHL license.
His tear gas canisters, according to the other report I'm reading, it was not tear gas canisters.
So what was it, just plain old smoke?
It was plain old smoke of about the 4th of July grade smoke bomb. Pretty much it.
So just a diversionary device.
Just something that looked really cool. It went with the special effects. And you know what might have added chaos and confusion to the
mix? I wouldn't doubt that it would. Yeah,
but,
I wouldn't doubt that.
You know, again, in the end, the big thing I kept seeing on Facebook that I had to argue with probably five or six different people who posted the photo that someone had a guy held up a sign that basically said, this guy had $20,000 worth of equipment, and I've been a Marine for 5 years, and I'm trained in explosives and demolition and this and that and the other, and I couldn't have pulled off what he pulled off, you know, with coming up with this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, then you're not a very good Marine if you couldn't have you know, pulled off something better than this guy could have. But, you know, I sat there and added up, okay, a 100-round beta mag, okay, a Smith & Wesson AR, okay, two Glocks used on the market, okay, a Mossberg, okay, even if he did have body armor, which I did, I found it brand new online for $399 a set. I found the leg guards and stuff like that. Again, all armored up for under $1,000 if you buy the cheap stuff.
Yeah.
Used Glocks, $350 a piece, a Mossberg shotgun, $200, M&P rifle, $800. 6,000 rounds of ammunition, I think that worked out to like $1,800.
That's the most expensive part of his whole deal.
Yeah, and so you add all that up, and he actually was only down about $3,900 is what I worked out. And if he planned this for 6 months, $3,900 worked out to about $600 a month he would have had to spend. And guess what? When you're a medical student, anybody who's ever been to college knows that everywhere you walk on a college campus, there's signs that say, sign up here for a great credit card.
Right.
Because we know that as a doctor in med school, you're going to rack up a lot of debt.
Yep.
And when you get out, you're going to make a lot of money, and you're going to pay us a lot of interest at 20%. So we're going to give you – we're going to shove credit cards down your throat as hard as we can.
Right.
So homeboy could have filled out two or three credit card accounts at $1,500 to $2,000 a piece. And this $20,000 number they're coming up with, I don't know, unless they're buying
the
most expensive stuff they could.
Well, that's somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about is what it boils down to.
Well,
and then the freak out over, we bought 6,000 rounds, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I know there was 1 year.
I've got 6,000 rounds in the trunk of my car at any given time.
The thing is, I remember 1 year I ordered way more than that.
You can't pay attention to somebody's numbers who thinks a Molly vest is full body armor.
And a Molly vest, you could have gone to Well, it's what they look like on TV. It must stop bullets. It's nylon mesh, dude.
Let's head out to Crosby. We have Dwayne in Crosby wants to talk about the Colorado shooting. Dwayne, what do you say?
Hey, man, I say if they would just get rid of some of these little 30-06 rules they have posted on the doors, this would have never happened. There would have been a CHL in that theater to just take care of business, and it would be done.
But the only reason they don't want to do that is if the theater, and I understand this, if the theater as a corporation says, we're going to allow that gun to come in here, and you had jumped up and you'd fired five or six rounds at the bad guy, you connect with all five rounds on the bad guy, one of the rounds passed through him and hit somebody behind, then that family's going to say, well, the only reason that my little boo-boo bear got shot is because Edward Cinema allowed it to happen. And it's all about them saying, you know what, whatever you guys do, we didn't allow it.
Yeah, the scary part is that I've actually talked to more than one attorney, and I have an uncle who is a civil trial attorney. And the statement that he says is very cold, but in a sense it's true, is that for the property owner, it is cheaper to pay for the actions of this criminal actor than to accept the liability that comes with you as a CHL holder.
Because the criminal is an unsanctioned act.
Right.
You acting, if he'd allow you to carry that gun in there, he has basically blessed your action.
Right.
I
don't agree with that's just the reality. Way it's been held in court. And that burns me up to hear that, but that's the attitude, unfortunately.
And they only care about your $7 and you're buying $15 worth of popcorn. They really don't care if you live or die.
Dwayne, do you have your carry license?
Yes, I do. I've been carrying, oh, shoot, I guess 6-7 years now, but I've been carrying since 1990. Well,
do you frequent any places that have the 30-06 sign?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's some banks, some buildings I have to work in and all that. So it drives me nuts that this perfect citizen outside of the door, and then, oh, my gosh, I'm going to step 1 foot in the door, and I'm a complete idiot. That just burns me.
And, you know, we can't advocate breaking the law because the law is there for a reason, and the law is there to keep you safe. And as an officer of the law, I could never advocate you breaking any laws, but the only way I would know that you were breaking the law is if you whipped out your Roscoe in the middle of the bank or in the middle of the theater and started doing something stupid with it. If you never whipped it out, I don't know if anybody's ever going to know it was there. But you
are
can't
you
do
saying
that
if it's concealed, it's concealed?
No, I can't advocate you
break
the law.
No, that's right. You can't say that.
Because you're supposed to follow the letter of the law, sir, and I expect you to do that, all right?
And another thing, look at all the shootings, it's always in a gun-free zone.
Is almost always. You're right. Absolutely right. It is almost always a gun-free zone.
Two or three of them. And again, you got to look at the motivation of the shooter. If he's going to be suicidal and want to do something, some of them have, I hate to say, had the balls to do it, but that's what it is. When they walk into the police station,
well, that's suicide
whip out
by
their
cop.
Gun and say, let's do it.
Yeah, that's not mass shooter. That's suicide by
at
cop.
At least he's not going into a preschool and saying, I'm going to kill all these people. He's like, you know what? We're going to go down in a blaze of glory, and he gets his wish, you know, and it doesn't work out well for the shooter in any of those situations, but unfortunately cops get shot.
But, you know, I do have to ask a question. Where do all of those guns come from? Because I've been in a police station more than once, and it's funny when I catch cops realizing what I'm doing because they realize I'm counting how many guys I see with no gun.
You know, on a total side note there, well, we'll finish up his call. I'll go into it.
Something I wanted to say, though, is that, you know, if there was this, you know, I don't know how it would work out, but, you know, all of a sudden these rules are not posted on the door, would these guys go, wait a minute, I might get shot.
Well,
there's going to be a good guy in the theater, and they won't do it. But to me, it's almost just encouraging these acts of just.
Well, it's a criminal empowerment zone.
No, we would agree with you, Dwayne, that when you post a 30-06 sign, and you know, interestingly enough, we posted a video today that's from the city of Houston, and it's last I checked, the city of Houston is not supposed to have 30-06 signs on their buildings because they can no longer exclude you solely on the grounds that you have a concealed handgun license.
Yeah, that was issued to you by the state.
But one of their newest buildings, it's over by the, it's, you know, basically it's back behind 61 Reasoner. It's one of their newest buildings, and apparently it's got a big 30-06 sign right on the front door. And so they shot this public safety video showing an active shooter walking in right past one of those signs, and the first thing he does is he pops the uniform guard right there in the lobby, you know, and then he proceeds on to doing whatever he wants to do.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's true about the new electrical AC permit building. If I recall, I've got a disarm when I walk in there because they have 30-06.
Trust, it's not worth getting a felony hung on you to get caught somewhere you shouldn't be with your gun. But by the same token, if you're concealed, how are they going to know?
Right, and that building is right by the old Amtrak station there. And
that's the building I'm talking about.
Slum? Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah, I'm going, Jesus, this is one place when I really should have my gun.
Yes, exactly. I haven't had reason to go to that building, but I watched them, you know, refurbish it over the last couple of years because it used to be a warehouse.
Yeah. And, oh, my God, and you walk around and it sounds like you're walking in a cheap trailer house. I was like, oh, my God.
But, you know, there's many places I've walked that have the sign up, and I'm a plainclothes officer, as I've mentioned before. I walk around just in jeans and T-shirts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'll go into places where I've got a badge and ID. If I need to whip out my credentials, I can. But I walk around all day with my gun on and go through courthouses or this building or that building. And nobody has ever once noticed I had a gun or said anything about it.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
You know? So that's what.
Well,
really
the thing is that
nobody ever says anything to me.
A very good friend of ours once said that unless you happen to be in a receiving line for G.W. Bush, nobody's going to notice and nobody's going to care.
Mm-hmm. Except for, didn't they get you at a concert?
Well, no, only
made
because
a spectacle out of it?
A quick story there on the side. I'm going to see Roger Waters a few weeks ago.
Well, okay, wait a minute now.
Okay. Anyway.
We're going to
a concert.
Put your money towards socialism.
Good. I know. It was a good show anyway. But I'm taking the boy. Dynamite wanted to go. So we go there, and at the security line, they want you to empty your pockets and check for everything. And when I walked up to the line, I walked over to one lady and she appeared to be semi in charge, and they wanted me to empty my pockets because I had a 5-hour energy that they were handing out to everybody in line, and can't take that in there. All right. And they said, "Do you have anything else in your pockets?" And I said, "Yeah." And I pulled out my badge and I discreetly opened it and said, "I'm off the clock, but I've got my stuff." And she just looked at it and she goes, "Who are you with?" And I told her, and she goes, "All right, go on." And I started to walk around her, and one of the other guys came out and said, "Stop." And I said, "I already talked to her." And he goes, "You didn't empty your pockets." And he goes, "I already talked to her." And she looked at him, and the supervisor looked at him and goes, "He's good. Let him go." And he goes, "But he didn't empty his pockets." And she goes, "He's a cop." And he goes, "Oh, you got your gun?" And, like, yelled it. And everybody in line stopped and stared at me for a minute. And he starts yelling down the line to somebody else. Goes, "It's okay. He got a gun. Let him buy it." And you're like, I was like, "Well, I'm very covert now."
Now, here's the question I have to ask, Tynamite. Do you now know what weed smells like since you went to a Roger Waters concert? Burning rubber, he says.
So, Dwayne, what do you carry?
45.
Good deal. What kind of 45?
It's just a TARS, PT-24/7.
All right. But I'd rather have that than the PT-111.
Yep. If it wasn't designed by Taurus, it tends to actually work. their copy of the Beretta and their copy of the 1911 run better than their original manufacturer designs, and those just seem to poop
the
bed.
Yeah, but the 24/7 most
Dwayne,
of the
it's a high cap 45. You're okay in my book, my man. Dwayne,
thank
you for giving us a call. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to be a part of Guns Over Texas, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon. If you're on hold, Houston, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back, and we're going to come right back to you. Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. We're going to head right out to the phone lines, and let's head out to Manville. Don, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Don?
How are you guys today?
Great, sir. Thank you.
Hey, what I was calling about is I finally got my hands on a Shield.
Cool.
Wow, you must have a friend that takes care of you.
But I did stop by the range up there. I took a Friday off, and my wife took a trip out of town, and we stopped by there, and I was going to try shooting one. But they told me the dirty dog that has the Shield wasn't there.
Oh, man. I'm sorry about that, Don. I'll let anybody shoot it. You just got to call and let me know you're on the way.
Yeah, that's all right. It was kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing. So, but what I was interested in is what kind of holsters are you guys carrying them around in?
Well, there's what are you using, Gary?
I have a Comptech holster inbound, but I've been carrying it in just an Uncle Mike's pocket rig for the moment. Yeah. And that has worked okay, but it's definitely slow. It's not, you know, I got to have my feelers way out so that, it, you know, I can tune somebody up from a distance. It's not ideal at all.
And most of those aren't. It's almost like you're carrying in a sock holster.
Not far off, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not far off from a tactical sock holster.
I too am waiting on a Comptac holster, and that's comp-tac.com, like competitive tactical. And I am currently using a DeSantis holster, which is, you know, it's been working out all right for about a $22, $23 holster. It's kind of a suede leather.
I think that's the one I really only come across. There's not too many of them out there to...
Are you looking for a pocket carry, or are you looking for waistband or in the waistband?
I'm not real sure. I'm an old single-action guy, so I'm not real sure what I'm looking for yet. So,
well, I mean, you know, we traditionally advocate strong side carry. That's the most common way of doing it. But that's, you know, and if you're a single-action guy, if you've done, like, single-action competition, then you might want something similar to that. But, you know, it really depends on how you're going to carry it. And... for me, the advantage of the gun is that it's so small that it can get away with being in a pocket or, you know, deep concealment where I tuck a shirt in over.
Ankle or something, yeah. I definitely prefer a strong side hip, but sometimes, depending on what you're wearing and other considerations, you got to go.
Exactly. Like, Don, it's summertime right now, so, you know, that gets difficult to carry.
Better to have a slow draw than no draw.
What kind of body frame do you have, Don?
Oh, about a medium build.
Okay.
So you've got a successful lifestyle, medium body.
Something I've never.
Hey, I do have to tell you, Gary, you changed my life for me.
How's that?
About 6 months ago, and mm-hmm. you were having discussion with our favorite liberal from yeah. California.
Yes, yes.
Well, I had gotten out of the car, and I get back in, and my wife is almost rolling in the floorboard. And I'm like, oh, she goes, you ought to listen to these guys. They're insane. And I said, well, I like listening to them every Sunday, you know. And so now she reminds me about to listen to you guys, you
well,
know.
That's cool. Good for you. Good for you.
She's a woman after our hearts.
We yeah, appreciate well, if we her. Can just get her to shoot, and then we'll be doing better. But
indeed.
Now, Don, a method you might want to try out that I've started with the Shield, and I've never used this carry method with any other gun that I've ever carried, is the front carry, appendix carry.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a little bit of getting used to, but when I'm carrying the Shield, that is my preferred method of carry. For some reason, if I carry right around 5 o'clock like I would normally, my pants, even with my gun belt, my pants tend to want to come down a lot, and that drives me crazy.
Well, it's because you lost weight and you need to get a smaller pair of pants.
That too. But with the front carry, it's not so bad. Even driving, you know, it takes a little bit. You got to learn how to jump in the car the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I'm having I'm practicing my draw from there, and it's good and quick, and, I'm enjoying it. So you might want to try a front carry.
Yeah, that's really kind of seems to be more comfortable when I'm. It's because it's almost a cross-draw scenario,
right.
So it seems to work out a little better.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for all the info.
Yes, sir.
You got it,
thank
Don.
You.
Thank
all
you
right.
for giving us a call.
Take care.
Wow. A guy who actually listens to us, even though you're a left-wing...
lefty liberal.
Gun-pandering liberal.
No. Jeff didn't get called that. That was me and you.
Oh, okay. Well, Jeff, trust me, if Jeff had been in there, probably would have been called a lot of things.
Actually, he'd have been calling people a lot of things.
Yeah.
I have retired from arguing online.
I know.
That's just all there is
yeah,
to
one of, when it came up, though, originally, I don't know why I just rethought of this reading something online, was that they were saying, well, if you support any restrictions, then you're not the person to speak for gun owners anyway.
Gun owners,
you're
yeah.
not the person because you spoke. And I basically was like, okay. And you know, my post back that didn't get responded to was, should a drunk person with a, you know, 0.18 blood alcohol content, should they have the right to carry? It's their God-given right to carry and protect themselves. Do you want the drunk with a 0.18, or do you think that we should
say... Well, he
hasn't
done anything criminally wrong yet, so no.
No, he hasn't, but I don't necessarily want the drunk guy behind the wheel or pulling the gun. Now,
yes.
When he sobers up the following morning, knock yourself out, put your gun back on. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to be drunk, you should be carrying, and that's the law we already have in place.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, if you're 18 or 21 right now to get your CHL, is that... a restriction because we had to wait till we were 18? Okay. Well, then should 15-year-olds be able to carry a gun openly and unrestricted? What about 12-year-olds? What about 8-year-olds?
As Tynamite perks up.
But anywhere you draw that line and go, okay, well, if they're under the age of 10, probably shouldn't. Up. You're for restricting our rights. You don't want 10-year-olds to protect themselves. And that's, like I said, that's when I started going, man.
We're just not going to find any concept.
Yeah.
Well,
they don't
thing,
like the term common sense gun
and
control.
And they don't like, well,
I don't like
the
that
problem,
term, but there still has
actually,
to be a line.
I don't have a problem with the term. I think the issue is how it gets defined.
Yes.
Okay, and we know that the left will define it in the wrong way.
Yes.
And that's just their concept of common sense is nobody has one. That's common sense.
Well,
I totally disagree with that.
If you'd have tried to pass a concealed carry bill before and said, people can just carry no matter what,
mm-hmm.
everybody would have gone nuts. It never would have happened.
Gone eight.
But when they said, all right, you can carry as long as we get your fingerprints, make sure you're not a felon, and that. And then the left, fortunately, it was able to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of these people who are so far on the fringe would say, it's got to be 100% no restriction whatsoever. And it's like, well, okay, then you get nothing.
Right.
You hold on for nothing and you end up with nothing. And I'm not thrilled with having to go through all the hoops to conceal carry,
but you
it's
know what?
That or
but
nothing.
It's, mm-hmm. And the thing is that if it's a program like Texas where it is shall issue.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing is everybody's like, well, what I want the government to say, okay, fine. Don't give the government discretion.
Of may issue. As long as you've okay. got... You're a
yeah.
U.S. citizen, you're over 21,
right.
and you're not a felon.
Right. And to me, the Texas model is the best there is in the country. Mm-hmm. We do have a minimal standard, and I mean minimal, because all of us
very
are
minimal.
Seeing blind men pass the shooting exam.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can read, you can pass a writing exam. You know,
And we have all sorts of ways of reducing the fees. Now, if you think the fees are too high, then fine. Let's argue that and reduce the fee.
No problem. But it's not even – and this I'll get yelled at again online. It's not a horrible fee considering that you've got to send all the stuff off. They've got to have somebody search the records,
right.
Do
it's
this. They've
got to
print
well, that's,
yeah,
they
that's,
print
that's what was originally born out of. That's
and then you don't
mail.
Have to pay as much 5 years later.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's where the fee was originally born from, was how much does it cost to send
printed
all this
material
off?
For the class.
Because the FBI back then did bill – the licensing section. So it was, okay, they came up with that fee based on what did it cost to actually produce that license. Now, I'm sure there was a healthy, you know, profit margin of sorts built in for the state, but that was the original basis of the fee.
Yeah.
So. Well, Jason, you sent me a story earlier this week about a guy at Walmart in Fort Worth. Concealed handgun license.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
In Fort Worth. Fort
I
Worth
forgot
Dallas,
about that, but yeah, I did send that.
Yeah, he blasted himself, didn't he?
Well, no. He cranked one off into the floor.
And the fragments, like,
and the bullet hit, obviously, a tile floor with concrete under it is going to defeat a round, and it shattered. Mm-hmm. And basically, a fragment of that bullet hit a little girl in the leg and caused... I don't even know if it caused stitches or not, but it basically struck her in the leg, and it wasn't a life-threatening or deadly thing. And then her mother experienced burning sensation because a piece of hot brass landed on her shoe.
Oh, God. Okay.
She was mentally and emotionally destroyed. Now, granted, it's horrible. I don't want my kids to be hurt, blah, blah, blah. I understand that. But I was burned by hot brass through my shoe is very low on the level of...
This is
injury
the
afforded.
Second, we'll call them negligent shootings in the last 3 or 4 weeks that we've heard of from a holstered firearm. Now, there was the one in Detroit that you were talking about, Gary, and then there's this one where the guy has allegedly holstered his Springfield XD40
right.
that has a grip safety that must be engaged in order for it to fire.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So... this doesn't make any sense to
me
at all.
Unless he put his hand in his pocket, he has other things in his pocket, which first off, if you're going to pocket carry a gun, that's all that's in the pocket.
Yeah, and how do you pocket carry an XD?
I don't know.
That's
you got to have
cargo
some really
pockets,
big,
maybe?
That's a big...
Those are really big pockets.
Yeah.
So if he's pocket carrying and maybe he's digging for his change, maybe he's digging for his car key, maybe he's digging for something else and thinks, oh, I got to move this out of the way to get to what I'm getting, and just grabs the whole gun thinking I'm going to shove it to the side while I stick my hand farther... maybe. But still, that gun is not going to fire unless the trigger is depressed and the safety
and
on the back is
how
depressed.
How is it depressed if it's in a holster? Doesn't
in your pocket.
Make any sense to
he
me.
He was finger farting with it and did something stupid and cranked one off. But that's not the problem. If you make a mistake, you make a mistake, you stay there and own up to it.
He
fled the store at high speed
right.
and fled from the cops outside, which did not end well for him.
No, it didn't.
No, now, they tend to get upset about that kind of
thing. Yeah. If you're going to mess up, you stand there and own your mistake, and it's going to be embarrassing, but it's going to be a heck of a lot less embarrassing than if you try to run.
Well, okay, Gary, as a CHL holder, mm-hmm. what would this guy, if he had stayed there, what would he be facing?
Well, there's probably, the thing is...
Would he be a CHL holder in a couple of months?
There's a good chance he might not be, depending on what was involved. He definitely won't be now that he fled the scene. The thing is if that gun actually came out, then we have, I'm blanking on the exact number, but...
Brandishing?
It's not brandishing, but it is, it's intentionally failing to conceal.
Mm-hmm.
This is all on video, considering Walmart probably is like the most big brother store out there.
Exactly. So we'd have an intentional failure to conceal a firearm because he's diddling with the gun unnecessarily in the store. So we've got that. Now, if it happened in the city limits, then there's a pretty good chance that you could charge him with discharging of a firearm inside the city limits. You might even go so far as to say reckless endangerment or deadly conduct, actually, in Texas, because he stroked around off in a store, and did endanger people. Generally speaking, in Texas, we consider discharging a firearm deadly conduct. So, so at the very least, he's got quite a few misdemeanors. I don't know about a felony, but he's definitely got some major misdemeanors he's looking at.
Yeah.
So,
we'd also, I derailed my train of thought there.
Well, no, let's get on to the Detroit one, because one of the interesting things that came out of that was that this guy was a cop who's dancing at a party, apparently
with
his wife.
He's off the clock.
Yeah, he's off the clock dancing with his wife when this other woman,
whom he allegedly does not
know, starts dancing suggestively with him.
Behind him.
Sliding up and down him, so she is in a kneeling position behind him with her face about even with his belt line.
But still got shot in the chest.
In the chest.
with a gun that is probably facing maybe at a 15-degree cant, maybe.
If that. Well, we don't know if he was cross-draw and it was pointing backwards or if it was a
regular strong sight. Well, if it was cross-draw, it wouldn't have been pointing backwards.
It said waist carry is all it said.
Yes. But most people, if they carry on the waist side, they're going to carry strong side, most.
Didn't they say it was inside the waistband?
Inside
the waistband. Yes. So not only do you have the holster that should be blocking the trigger guard, you've got jeans or slacks or something.
Yeah.
And possibly, depending on how he wears it, probably the belt going across the actual trigger area.
All I'm saying is that now that I have the wife angle, there's a part of me that says there's a real strong possibility that stories have gotten changed because wife might have gotten a little ticked off about that.
That was my suggestive dancing. Exactly. Maybe they did
know
each other.
The big question is, were hands washed before somebody responded?
That is entirely
going to be the big question.
Yes.
Who washed whose hands before? Because otherwise, that's going to tell a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen
it's, you know, I didn't hear the wife angle until later, so I don't know that her hands were ever tested.
And was she there?
Exactly. Was she even there?
And, of course, it has been spun that the police officer was he shouldn't have been carrying his gun because he was at home. And since
That brings us to Zone D Erotica here in Houston. Okay.
Oh, man.
Let's be gentle on the brethren police officers.
We will call the young officer Zone D from here on out. Okay?
As will all of her fellow officers forever.
Because apparently at 10 o'clock at night, she felt the need to go to Zone D Erotica. Now, my hat's off to her because that is probably a very happy marriage. But the whole deal is that she's in a store at 10 o'clock at night. In Houston, anywhere off of 1960 at 10 o'clock at night, there's no way I'd be anywhere without a gun. But she's off duty inside of a store with no gun. Supposedly it's out in her car. She ends up witnessing a robbery.
In which the store clerk is shot in the leg.
Yes, in which the store clerk gets popped, and she goes, wow, maybe I shouldn't be here.
Uh-huh.
And tries to go to her car, allegedly, to get her firearm, gets winged on the way out, and ends up getting in her car and has to leave the scene. My thing is, why did you not have your gun with you in the store to begin with?
The story I've heard is that she was not dressed appropriately to be able to be carrying a gun. It's just understandable as to why she'd be at Zone D at, 10 o'clock at night.
The sound you hear is me biting my tongue. And especially if you're going to be somewhere at night, the folks who might go to Zone D Erotica might be those that are inclined to pay for their items in cash since they have a lot of ones stuffed into G-strings and so forth. So maybe it would be a cash-oriented business that might be more prone to actually
getting
robbed and attracting folks in there that might rob.
And that Zone D is kind of not real well lit, and there's some...
How would you know, Jeff?
How would you know that one? Because all the ones I've ever seen from the road seem really well
lit.
I've never been in one. I couldn't tell you.
No, okay. I don't know this one.
If you just trek about a mile further down 249, you've got a well-lit Cindy's.
Okay.
Well lit.
Well lit.
It's not a freestanding building. It's in a strip center with a bunch of other stores.
But the problem there is there's a lot of big windows that face the parking lot.
Right over by Joe's Crab
Shack. Anybody can see into.
Yeah, but you're not going to have a couple of masked dudes run in there and try to, rob the place at 10 o'clock at night.
So what you're basically saying is that even if you're a cop,
you should be carrying a gun.
Well, the cops are there to protect us. Well, not every cop is always on the clock mentally.
Hey, no matter how tight the dress... There could be like a like a thigh holster,
You got to be pretty committed to hide if you're, depending on what she was wearing, she'd have to be really committed to hiding that gun.
And she might have been going out drinking with her man later on that night. So maybe she said, "I don't want the gun because I'm going to be drinking,
that's
and
possible.
It's against policy
all
to have the gun while I'm drinking," which
that's,
is possible.
Yeah, excellent point.
Yes. Yeah. Now you mentioned an excellent point, and I don't know that I've ever shared this story, but years ago I was out with my cousin, and we went to a Stop and Rob, okay. And it was an interesting time because we had some guy who went, "Hey, boss, don't you recognize people you put in jail?"
Ooh.
At which point in time, I very quietly stepped to the side to let him have that conversation with that guy. Now, it turned out all great because the guy went, "Dude, I just really wanted to thank you for helping me straighten out my life." And,
that was a 1-in-a-million shot right there.
Yeah, and it was all good. But afterward, my cousin was like, "Dude, where'd you go?" I was like, "I brought a gun to this party for me, not for you." Okay. I have no problem telling your mom that you ended up getting busted because you didn't bring a gun. Okay. Not my problem.
Jason, being an officer of the law, have you had that experience before?
I don't know of what you speak, sir.
You know, no, he may not have, but you can't tell me that you've never. I don't know what it is. I get profiled as a cop a lot. Uh-huh. And things that key me up is if you call me chief.
Boss. I quit going to Subway because the guy kept calling me boss.
The guy who put the carpet in my house called me boss man about three times before I clicked to it.
Yeah.
And I was like, where do I know you from? You don't remember? And I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah. It's so bad. My wife will introduce her in-laws to me to see if they're turds. You know, because if they immediately called me boss or chief, she's like, I know he's been in jail. How do you know? Because he called you. He thinks you're a cop. Oh, great.
I quit going to that Subway because I can only imagine what bread he was putting off to the side
exactly.
for me.
Exactly.
You know? The guy who installed my window tint and car alarm years back. And when he came out to hand me the key, he said, here you go, boss man. And I kind of looked at him and he goes, you don't remember me? And it was another one. I was like, God.
Houston, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Guns Over Texas. In the what is this? The Tribune?
That's the Crumb.
This is the Comical.
Yes.
All right. Second Amendment poll: gun owners back controls. Big bold letters: gun owners back controls.
I read that article. That was from the New York Times. So they weren't even they were too lazy to even write the articles themselves, let alone do the supposed statistical research.
Yeah, and you know, Second Amendment rights to carry firearms are cherished by most gun owners. New poll finds no surprise there. But the same poll says a sizable majority of those same gun owners, even members of the NRA, also strongly support some gun control measures. They found that 76% of gun owners think people on the terrorist watch list should be barred from buying guns.
Here's my problem, though. How do you define how somebody gets on that terrorist watch list? And if you're
right, which right now is just a black box. It just happens.
And Jeff, boy, you go online and you ran a whole lot. You sound awful crazy online. I think we need to keep an eye on you as a domestic terrorist.
Right.
So I don't necessarily like that. I like conviction because the only reliable indicator of future behavior is past behavior.
Right.
If I can prove you've been a turd multiple times over, mm-hmm. chances are you're going to keep on messing up.
Right. Which is why we don't allow felons to get guns back.
And I'm even for some felons getting back their right. If you're felony tax evasion or something stupid like that,
fine.
And you commit your felony, you wait 10 years, and boom, your rights are restored. You can vote again. You can own a gun again. I haven't got a problem with something like that.
Right. But if you were an axe murderer, that
if you're an axe murderer, assault, rape, kitty diddler, Jerry Sandusky, whatever it ends up being, then you kind of throw in the towel for life. You voluntarily gave away your rights.
And I totally agree with that.
My problem with this is you've got these big bold letters, and if anybody just glances at it, it looks like, wow, even gun owners want gun control.
Right.
And it's just stupid stuff, like 82% of gun owners think anyone purchasing a gun should get a criminal background check.
They already do.
We do that already.
So they're not talking about gun owners should have more gun control. They're saying that what we have right now
works.
Is enough.
Exactly. Yeah.
We don't need any more which I can understand.
I can get behind that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see rescind because I don't own any and wouldn't cost me any money. Oh. I would like to see the NFA Act rescinded.
I would too.
Because I want to, you know, I think that it was stupid to have that 86 ban. You know, that's just my opinion.
It didn't stop any assault rifles. It stopped certain brands and import. But AR purchases.
I'm talking about the 86 ban on machine guns.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me make a challenge to all of our gun-supporting brethren out there.
I misspoke.
Let's no longer call them assault rifles, because the assault rifle is a term that was derived from gun control freaks.
Right.
The actual AR actually stands for Armalite rifle.
Right.
So I can take this stylus in my hand and jab it in Gary's eye, and I have an assault stylus. Mm-hmm. So I say, let's no longer feed the trolls, and let's call it either an AR or an Armalite rifle.
Or a semi-automatic rifle or whatever.
Yeah.
Ugly black rifle.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, cool with that. What were we talking about?
He was talking about, unfortunately, the one thing I can speak ill of my beloved Ronald Reagan on is Reagan allowed them to sign the act. Yes, that basically said nobody can own any more machine guns that weren't already produced before such and such time. He said, this is 1986. Whatever's out there for fully automatic stuff, that's it. And there will be no more. And you can trade them, mix and match all you want with what's out there, but what's out there is it.
And, you know, with suppressors, this is a public health issue, man. I'm, you know, fixing to go deaf.
Well, you know, the funny thing
is, I wear earplugs
America,
and earmuffs.
Well, you do realize that if you go to, like, Finland or Norway to hunt, you're required to use suppressors. Mm-hmm. We're the only country that got
all...
thank
you for not saying silencer.
Yeah.
Suppressor.
Yeah, we're the only country that got bent all out of whack over that. And it's, you know, all right, it's only something an assassin would use. No, that's something that a considerate person would use.
A considerate person. Thank you. What do you think, Houston? 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738.
Although I will say, I had the experience of shooting a suppressor on a hog hunt, actually while you were out. And now, there were a lot of things that were wrong with this hog hunt. One, I'd pulled my hamstring before I went on the hog hunt, so I wasn't exactly walking all that great.
Uh-huh.
We're out in the middle of this field, out in the middle of Weimar, Texas, with night vision and suppressed AR-15.
I'm hearing excuses for why you missed. Now, I haven't heard the story yet, but I'm hearing excuses.
I did not miss. I never found the hog, but I didn't miss. Well, I mean, there was a blood
didn't
trail.
Didn't miss, but didn't hit either.
Yeah, right? No, we hit him because there was a blood trail. I wasn't interested in going to find him. Because as we're stalking up on this hog, the guy that I'm with, Andy, my friend Andy, and my hat's off to him and his family for having me out. And I did a private CHL class for his mom. And so we're out doing this hunt, and we get to maybe 50 yards off of these hogs, and he goes, "Don't shoot any cows." And I went, "Cows? Yeah, don't shoot any cows." "What cows?" And it dawns on me, we are in a pasture. "Andy, are we still on your property?" "No, but don't worry about it." "What?" She says, "Yeah, look over to your right." And so here I am looking through this beer can. If you've ever worn PBS-14 night vision, it's just a beer can. That's all you're seeing the world through is a beer can. Mm-hmm. So you scan over to the right, and there's this great big Bugs Bunny Ferdinand-looking bull. I mean, 2,500 pounds, great big killing horns on him. You know, and I'm going, "Andy, there's no fence between us and that bull." He goes, "Yeah, don't shoot him." Yeah, no joke. Don't shoot him.
Now, if that bull had charged and you had to defend yourself with your AR, how well do you think your little .223 would have done against the bull?
Dude, I'd have been a dead joker all day long. So, you know, then he goes, "Yeah, don't shoot the heifer either." I'm like, "Heifer? What heifer?" Scan back to the left. He lights up his IR light, and there's his heifer bedded down just, you know, right in front of the bull. And I never would have seen her. I'd actually been looking at a hog right over the top of her. So if I'd have shot low at all, it would have been expensive. So then all of a sudden I hear movement, and I come back over, and there's this hog, and he's turning towards us and coming towards us. I'm like, I got no choice, so I got to light him up. So I light up the hog. Light up the hog. And the funny thing about suppressors, and that was the point of telling you all of this, is that suppressors are anything but suppressed or quiet when you're out in the middle of a field.
At night.
No wind, at night.
No other noise, no ambient noise.
And it's not a subsonic round. It was the loudest suppressed M16 I've ever heard in my life.
But it's still quieter than it would have been.
It was quieter than it would have been, but not quiet enough not to disturb the bull. So next thing I know, after I break these three shots off at this hog, and he runs off into the ether, you know, I can see him trailing blood and whatnot, but I can't lose track of him, and I'm hearing hooves coming toward me. I look around for the bull. The bull's gone. You know, and Andy backs up into me because, you know, when you're looking through the world and you're moving around people, you kind of need to be in contact with each other. Uh-huh. So Andy bumps into me and says, "Don't move, don't move." And I'm going, "Why would I not move? Because I hear hooves." You know? And he goes, "I see the cows. Don't move, don't move." I'm like, "Okay." He goes, "Shoot the hog, shoot the hog." Who cares about the hog, dude? Where's the bull? So I scan around, and sure enough, I look around, and there's like 40 head of cattle running right behind us. And they run into a fence, and as cattle tend to do, they bump the fence. And finally, after the first few layers of cows hit the fence, they calm down and they quiet down. But you know, then I go, he goes, where'd the hog go? I'm like, I don't know, and don't care. Get me out of here.
It would have been nice if you'd have found that hog, because then we could finally taste wild hog.
Yes, because somebody will not arrange the cooking of the hog.
I'm waiting on Mad Dog or Mad Max?
He's probably contacted you four or five times, but since you won't check your email.
I did. I have been. Pete and Kingwood.
Well, then we will put out that call again and tell them to call the range if necessary.
That's fine. Or they can finally email me at jeff@gunsovertexasradio.com. I check it periodically.
Periodically means monthly.
Like annually.
You know what? I stopped by the range today when we were out doing a little test driving there with the boy. And, well, there's another story that will go with that. We had to go to the DMV this week to get a permit. So we'll go into that one in a minute.
I bet that made you want to go shoot some guns.
Oh, good Lord. But I did stop by with the wife, and she did give me the update that I'm supposed to ask you about. Mm. How are Huey, Louie, and Dewey doing?
Ah, yes.
The ducks.
The yes. ducks.
The ducks.
The official Guns Over Texas ducks.
Yeah, they're on.
They're not big enough to eat yet.
No, they're about to be placed at a some place. It's got a pond or a lake or something, and they get to roam free during the day, and then they come back to their enclosure at night. And if they fly off, they'll always have a place at that. At that enclosure to come back to.
Well, that's very nice of you.
Uh-huh. They'll have a place on my plate next to the fried
rice. That's what I'm thinking.
The Kung Pao.
Yes.
Little orange sauce.
Roasted duck.
They were some kind of yellow whistling duck or something like that. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, I don't remember what they were, but they were.
They were street duck.
Well,
some of them were.
Yeah. Some of their siblings definitely were street duck.
Michelin duck.
I read an article in the newspaper that really, well, it was online, really drove me nuts because it's another one of those finely worded articles that it's the gun's fault. Mm. And it was a law enforcement officer was slightly injured a couple of weeks ago in a pistol misfire at the gun range.
Is this the one, the HPD officer that shot himself?
I'm trying not to identify.
No, we need to call them out.
The pistol fired at about 3:30 p.m. The pistol fired while the unidentified officer was cleaning it.
Yes.
Okay? So it's the pistol's fault. The way it's worded is the pistol's fault.
I remember that incident.
Well, it was the car's fault that NYPD had so many discharges from it because they kept pulling the trigger and wondering why it went off.
No, that's right up there with Lee Page and his, you know, I'm the only one professional in this room that I know of handled a Glock 40. You know, 1.5 seconds later, he strummed around off in his own thigh.
And for anybody that hasn't seen that video, is it still on YouTube?
It's out there.
It's out
several
there in a
copies
lot of
it. Look up DEA agent shoots himself. Okay.
It is a great
But if there wasn't video of it, he would be saying the gun just went off.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
As opposed to, boom, I shot myself.
Yes.
A number
and he fully knows that he pulled the trigger.
Oh, yeah. You can see it on in his expressions and actions. He's like, darn it, I've done it again.
A number of things have to happen for the gun to go bang while you're cleaning it.
Yes.
One, that means that you did not remove the source of ammunition.
You need to start with that.
Whether it's the magazine or the one in the chamber. So, you know, when I clean the gun, the first thing I do is pop the mag out, then rack the slide a number of times, not just once, three, four, or five times, just to be certain. So that was not done. No press check was done. Nothing. Nothing. So when he presses the trigger and the gun works as advertised, it's not the gun's
fault. And even if you screwed up all of that other stuff,
you're supposed to point it in a safe direction to pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it does go off, you blow a hole through a chair, not through yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the gun didn't just go off. He was an idiot.
Yes.
You know, that to me should have disqualified him from being an officer. Should have flunked him out of the academy right then and there.
I don't want to see any officer lose his job. I never do. But would it send you back to the remedial?
At
for
the
a
very least,
bit?
You're going to get remedial.
You're
going to
get remedial.
It was a moment of stupidity, and hopefully he's
learned his lesson.
And I know some of the instructors at HPD, and they are top notch.
Sure, they are.
And I hope this guy
goes through
one of
their classes. I don't think that's
an
instructor's fault. I don't.
I'm sure he was told, "Don't point the gun at yourself and pull the trigger." Yes. I will bet money that was covered in class.
Yeah, it hit the floor and fragmented, and the floor struck him in the forehead.
That's still not a safe direction. Yeah. If you're sitting over a concrete floor, it's not a safe direction.
I wholeheartedly agree, but we need to get some more training here. So.
Hey, okay, back to the story earlier. I'm at DPS this week. I'm sitting at DPS for about 4 hours, which gave me a little preview of what it's going to be like when Obamacare takes over my doctor's office.
Yeah, coming soon to a hospital near you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
4 hours I'm waiting there to get the boy a permit so we can begin driving and making the roads a little less safer for the city of Houston. And as we're sitting there and I've got nothing to do because you can't get a cell phone signal in there, I stare around the room and I notice a guy about two seats down from us. And I point out to Ty. I was like, "You see it?" He's like, "What? You don't see the gun?" And he started looking. And after a second or so of looking, he saw it. The guy was printing through his shirt. Mm-hmm. He wasn't doing anything bad, but you could see two. Okay, so as I scan around the room, I spotted at least one gun. There was another one I wasn't sure of. But how was I really sure on this guy's gun beside it printing? At one point of sitting there on the plastic chairs, he's a little uncomfortable, so he adjusts his gun. And he does so by lifting his shirt pretty much up to his armpit and sticking his hand down there on his gun and belt and adjusting everything around a little bit and then dropping his shirt back down. And nobody around him batted an eyebrow. And I didn't see a badge or anything on the belt. I don't know if he was a cop. I don't know if he was a CHL holder. I don't know what it was. But I was looking at him like, I probably want to go over and talk to him on the way out the door and say, dude, you can adjust all you want. I'm glad you have a right to carry. But you can't lift your shirt up like that.
Is the DMV not a 30-06?
Shouldn't matter. DPS issues you the permit. I wouldn't imagine it was or wasn't. I don't know.
You would think the one place you wouldn't want people carrying a gun would probably be there.
Oh, it was horrible.
That is the
horrible.
Most infuriating place that you can possibly step foot into.
But it's a good way for the boy to learn what bureaucracy is and what he's going to get to deal with for the rest of his life.
There you go.
But, I am not a big fan of the whole vehicle registry process.
And I don't think any of us are. The last time I was there, I got 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:30 in the morning, and I was still there 3.5 hours. Thank goodness I had a shooting range I could go to close by, get some of that angst out of myself. Mm-hmm. So, Jason, what do you have going on soon? Are you going to be at IDPA this Thursday?
I would love to say there's a Thursday where I'm not working at some point, but I haven't seen that in many, 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 many Thursdays. For some reason, that's when the crooks I'm looking at want to do stuff. So that's when I'm out doing stuff.
How about you, Gary? Well, what do you have going on this week, gun-wise?
Gun-wise, we will be shooting tomorrow night at Sportsman's Outlet, starting at, first rounds go down range at 6:30, but we'll start signing as early as 5:45. And then other than that, West Houston IDPA, as usual, on Wednesday night.
All right. Houston, that's another 2 hours of Guns Over Texas gone and done with. So you can tune in next week at the same time, 5 p.m., and we'll get at it again. If you don't have your concealed handgun license yet, what are you waiting for? Get it now at Shiloh Shooting Range. You can give them a call at 281-444-8930. That's 281-444-8930, and sign up for your personal lesson or your concealed handgun license today. Heck, do them both. Shoot straight, Houston.